The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Hey, what do you want to da-da-da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da-da-da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no, I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi everyone, welcome to Millennial Mama. I am very excited about today's episode, as my guest is a dad who went viral for wearing an Elsa dress with his son. He's a best-selling kids author and speaker. He's a strong advocate for empowerment and acceptance. So glad to welcome Scott Stewart here with me today. Hey Scott, welcome to Millennial Mama Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It's such an honor to have you here.
No, thank you. I'm really pleased to be here.
Scott, you know, I came across your post in some random Facebook page. I think you'd gone viral by then, and you had worn a dress to support your son. And when I looked at your post, it just made me so happy, you know, that you were breaking gender stereotypes yourself, but teaching your son that it's okay to be who he wants to be. So I just want to know, how did this happen? Was it extremely natural for you, or did you have to like talk yourself into this?
Yeah, firstly, thank you. Look, it's been a little bit of a journey for us in our family. You know, my son, he fell completely in love with Elsa when he was about, Elsa from the movie Frozen, when he was about 3 years old, and I'm not sure, you know, what it was, because he hadn't even, you know, seen the movie yet, but he still fell in love with her. And you know, he really started looking up to her, and he, you know, wanted to see the movie and he wanted to get the toys, and you know, then eventually, you know, he wanted to wear the costumes. And look, I am a guy who grew up in country Australia, where, you know, gender roles are very, very rigid and defined. And, you know, I grew up playing rugby and, you know, very masculine, and, you know, I really thrived in that world. And so my son kind of breaking, you know, that stereotype and, you know, wanting to do something outside of that was, you know, it was foreign to me. You know, I didn't have any real point of reference. I mean, I had been a professional dancer for, you know, a decade before that, but I still didn't have a great point of reference to kind of work from. And so basically what we did, we decided just to, you know, go through that discomfort and, you know, just see what happened for a day. And then the next day, see if he was still in love with it. And the next day, right. See if he was still in love with it. You know, and eventually, you know, we kind of got to that stage where Frozen 2, the movie, was coming out here in Australia. And, you know, for months we'd been planning, you know, going to see it as a family, and he was going to wear his, you know, favorite Elsa dress and dress up, and it was going to be wow. This big thing. We'd kind of like organize some celebrations and like a pre-party and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, as we were getting closer to it, he was just starting to hit that age where, you know, external judgment started to become quite a big thing in his life, and he was starting to get really worried about what other kids would think, whether people would laugh at him. And so, look, to support him, I jumped onto Amazon. I bought the biggest, you know, Elsa dress yeah. I could possibly find and wore it with him. And we had an absolutely amazing time. But, yeah, look, it's not something that came natural to me. Right. Pure acceptance. I grew up in a very judgmental household. But once you start accepting and you start seeing the joy that, you know, was brought to him, my son, you just can't stop. You know, you start seeing, you know, this whole new side of him come out. You start seeing, you know, this real version of him, you know, this version of him that's not afraid, and this version of him that's just so pure and joyful. And once you start seeing that, you know, you just want to encourage that more and more. And in our family, that happened to be, you know, the fact that my son, that came out when he was wearing dresses and, you know, idolizing a female character. And so, yeah, that's where we ended up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such a great, he has such a great role model, because when you start accepting them is when they start accepting themselves and becoming comfortable in their own skin, which is yes. So important for at kids at such a young age, you know, because that's where later on in life is where the prejudice, where the opinions start to set in.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you, you know, you brought up such a great point there, because we are from India, right? Yep. And a lot of our families are deep-rooted with, you know, this male, you know, how a man is supposed to be like.
Yep.
And even today, you know, though we are all trying to change that and shift things, there are certain families that live with their parents, grandparents, and, you know, they are like, oh, men should not do this and men should do this, you know? So why, according to you, is it so important for parents to let their kids just be, you know, whatever they want to be or whoever they want to be?
Sure. Well, firstly, I'm only going to talk from the perspective of, you know, my family, and, you know, I don't want to talk about other cultures and that sort of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, what I will say is, look, you know, when, let's just jump into kind of the mind of my son, you know, so he yeah. is there. He's in love with Elsa. He really wants to dress up as Elsa. You know, he idolizes her. I then come along and tell him, no, that's completely wrong. You know, first thing that happens then is he no longer can trust his own emotions and instinct. And as soon as you can't right. trust your emotions and instinct, you know, that carries on through your life, through your relationships, through your decisions. So, you know, just enabling him to be able to trust himself requires me as the parent to give him that freedom to express that emotion and, you know, instinct. And then if I push against it, then I'm breaking that trust. So first thing, you know, if we don't allow them to do that, then they lose that trust in themselves. You know, secondly, you know, I'm a big believer that should lives right next to shame. And so anytime we're saying that because he is a boy, he should be doing something, the right. only real, you know, outcome from that is creating shame either in him or in us. And one of the things yeah. that we kind of don't really, you know, dive into too much is, as parents, you know, often we want to be really accepting and supportive of our kids, but it's the pressure from society, family, whoever, on us as parents that drives us away from that, rather than the pressure on our kids. You know, our kids, we know yeah. that if they're breaking some kind of stereotype, there is going to be some form of adversity. Now, the funny thing is, even if they weren't breaking a gender stereotype, there would be some adversity. It'd just be a different kind of adversity. You know, so the kids, right, they are going to grow up with that adversity. But us being, you know, caring parents, we want the best for our kids. You know, that fear creeps in. You know, what if my child gets bullied? What if, you know, people say things? And often the fear that we experience as parents, you know, what are other parents going to say about me as a dad allowing my son to do that? You know, that's something that we start, you know, reacting against as well. When my son, you know, the very first time he wanted to wear a dress, it was inside our house, and you know, we allowed him to do it, and I still felt like a visceral discomfort. And this discomfort, you know, it wasn't because of anything besides my cultural, you know, upbringing. You know, I had been raised similar to what you were talking about, that a man has certain roles and certain expectations and dresses a certain way. You know, I had been raised that way. So the first time he wore a dress, I felt that. Then the second time he wore a dress, he wanted to wear that to our local bookstore and wanted to, you know, walk down the street in it. And suddenly this was a completely different experience for me as a father. You know, firstly, I could have, the first time it was kind of hidden in the house. The second time it was allowing the world in to see that. And, you know, walking down the street, I was terrified. You know, I was terrified working down the street. Literally every person who looked at me, just going through my mind, I was thinking, you know, what are they thinking about us? They're judging me, you know. And it's so easy for me to have been able to, it would have been so easy for me to just stop us, go home. And what does that teach my son? That other people's opinions are more important than his own, you know? And so those, you know, small messages are ones that we just continually kind of bombard our kids with. You know, are you sure you want to wear that? Because none of your other friends are wearing that. Are you sure you want to play that sport? Because nobody else at school is playing that sport. You know, we're continually reinforcing the fact that other people's opinions are more important than their own. And again, you're going back to that trust, you know, they start to learn to not trust their own instincts. And that's kind of why we end up, you know, at 30 years old, you know, not really knowing what we want to do. And, you know, should I stay with this person? I'm not sure.
Going to an identity crisis.
Yeah, you know? It comes from not being able to trust yourself and your emotions and your instincts. And so that's why I think it's so important. And then the very obvious reason as well is, you know, once you dive into the numbers, you know, the statistics on kids where shame is a big part of their life, you know, for example, transgender children, you know, children, you know, who are in any form of the LGBTQ community, you know, the suicide and depression rates are absolutely astronomical, and, you know, overwhelmingly because they're not feeling accepted, you know. And so by not accepting our kids leads to that shame, leads to depression, can lead to suicide, you know. So just removing that aspect altogether would be absolutely fantastic.
I mean, that really does sound something we all should look into, you know. And that brings me to my next thing, that you wrote that my shadow is pink.
Yes.
You know, and now I know the inspiration is your son, but what do you hope this book should achieve? Like, what do you hope for it to achieve?
Yeah, thank you. Well, firstly, just so you know, the kind of listeners have a little bit of context, my book, My Shadow is Pink, is about a young boy who's born with a pink shadow that loves princesses, fairies, and things, you know, traditionally not for boys. And he's grown up in a family where everybody has blue shadows. They love very masculine things. And it's kind of an exploration of how he, you know, finally accepts himself. Look, I really want...
I want to ask you something. Is a book available in India to purchase?
Ooh, that is a fantastic question. I know it's, you know, basically worldwide, so I would assume it is, but I have never checked.
Okay, I'm going to check that and add that at the end of this episode.
Okay, fantastic. So what I would want kids to understand is, you know, reading this book is, one, to have the courage to you know, be true to yourself, knowing that, you know, there's a line in the book. It's one of my favorite lines. It says, some that will love you and some that will, they will not, but those that do love you, they'll love you a lot. You know, it's knowing that, you know, maybe not everybody will be get behind you, but those people who do get behind you, they're the people you can call your real friends. They're the people who, you know, will accept you for exactly who you are. And so that's your number one. And number two, it's I want to put something out in the world that shows kids breaking gender stereotypes, not experiencing bullying. There's no bullying in the story. It's kind of very easy to kind of, you know, dive into that cliche of, well, he would have been bullied, but there's no bullying in the story. It's literally just his internal fears and his father's internal fears that this is an exploration of. And you're seeing that, you know, when you accept yourself, just this whole world of joy, love, and acceptance can come your way.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think, yeah, I think this is so important because, you know, I'm listening to you, the more I'm listening to you, the more I'm realizing that what we are most afraid of is basically our unmet needs and our need for validation. You know, our kids don't care about these things, what people will say, but we project our insecurities onto them. And that's when they start realizing, oh, what will this one say if I do this? And what will that one say? So I think this is such an important topic to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you my son is, he's now 7. And so for a long time, it literally was just our, you know, my own fears, my family's fears, my wife's fears. Although I will say my wife was always 100%, you know, completely accepting and found it far, you know, a much smoother process than I did, you know.
Right.
But, you know, as they get a little bit older, you know, suddenly it's their own fears. And, you know, look, there's this fantastic quote, and I'm completely forgetting who it was written by, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But, you know, the quote basically, it was talking about, you know, their parent feeling so much fear and then projecting that fear onto their child and saying that, you know, that your children don't need to carry your fear around with them. And so it's this deliberate choice, you know, do you want your child to carry your own fears, because, you know, they're going to have their fears as well, you know, but do you want to add your own fears on top of that, or do you want to let them go out into the world, you know, basically without that? So
wow. You know, Scott, thank you so much. This conversation is amazing. But as I told you earlier, I'm from India, okay? And gender stereotype is a part of our conditioning that's very, very deep rooted.
Sure.
You know, and some of the common ones are that boys don't cry, or, you know, a man has to take care of the family or the girl or whatever it is. But we as millennial parents are really trying hard to change that conversation. I know, because I have seen my friends who are moms of boys, and they are really trying to shift this, you know. How do you suggest we do that? Like, are there any tips you would like to share? How do you suggest we make these conversations comfortable for us as between ourselves and our parents, and for the kids between them and us?
Yeah, look, that's a really great question. So firstly, it's before doing anything with your child, you know, first things first, have a conversation with you and your spouse, your partner, you know, if it's the two of you, you know, and figure out what it is that you actually want with your child. You know, do you want them to grow up having self-confidence, you know, the ability to trust themselves? Do you want them to be confident enough to challenge these stereotypes? Do you not? And that's, you know, that is a choice as well. You know, some parents would say, no, I don't want them doing that, you know. And so firstly, discuss it with your partner, discuss it with the male figure in his life, whether that's his father or somebody else. Because that's probably where more of the pushback will come from, you know, and have a very open conversation there about what it is that you're actually trying to create in your child. But then where it comes to your son, your children, firstly, creating a really safe space for them to be as they are without fear of judgment. So in, let's say it's in the home, in your cousin's home, in an aunt's home, wherever, they need a space where they can be fully themselves without judgment. For some families, that is a place where their father is not, or a place where their mother is not, you know. Some people have that auntie or uncle who it can be fully accepting. You know, some people have it only in the form of friends. Some people are very, very fortunate to have it at home with their mother and father, or just, you know, one parent. So finding a space where they can be fully themselves, free of judgment. And allowing them to explore, you know, themselves in that space. Secondly, it's allowing them to actually explore more than what we think, you know. So opening up more ideas than we usually would. You know, for example, my son has been asking me recently a lot about what happens after death, you know. And it's very easy for me. I grew up in a Christian family. It's very easy for me to answer just in the, you know, the bias of Christianity, heaven, hell, you know, here's what happens. You know, but instead, what I have been saying to him is, I say, okay, well, some people believe, you know, there's a heaven, there's a hell, you know, some people believe in reincarnation, some people believe that that's you're done, it's over, you know, some people believe, and I kind of run through a whole, you know, gamut of things that other people think and believe, and then I say to him, you know, what do you think, you know, and I give him the freedom to come up with his own ideas, and that also gives him the freedom to change, you know, his opinions and ideas as well. You know, so giving him a lot more ideas, exposing him to a lot more, whereas, you know, for a boy, I might only buy, you know, as birthday presents, trucks and dinosaurs and things like that. You know, maybe start just pushing the boundaries a little. You know, if they're getting three presents, make one of them something that's a bit more gender neutral, you know, or something that's a little, you know, on the traditionally opposite side of the gender, and just kind of see, you know, you, 'cause you can never turn somebody into something else. You can't turn your child, you know, gay, or turn your child trans. But you can help your child reveal who they are, you know. So giving that freedom to explore. And then the third thing I'd say is, once you start getting an idea of, you know, what your kid or what your child is interested in, start showing them examples in media, in culture, in books, you know, in your family members, in friends, of people who like the same things that they like, who express themselves the same way. And, you know, a lot of us will not have your family who expresses themselves the same way, but there's a whole internet of people who do, you know. So you know, it's finding people and finding stories that you know, relate to your kids, and you know, basically showing them that the world accepts them so much that they've created these stories and you know, celebrity around people just like them, you know, giving them that validation on exactly who they are.
Yeah, that is some great tips, Scott. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you so much for being so prompt in getting back to me and agreeing to do this interview. I am so lucky to have you here.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
As millennial parents, we are opening up the communication channel, and Scott shared some really insightful ways to be more gender inclusive. You can keep up with Scott's journey on Instagram at Scott Creates. You can also buy his book, My Shadow is Pink, on Amazon. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm in. Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.